And what a beautiful song to sing, Achad She'alti. So we have to introduce a version of Achad She'alti, and people have to learn it. Like we introduced the L'kai Neshama years ago, and Baruch HaGever that we all know, and Horeini Hashem. So we have to be Metaki and Achad She'alti. How can we not sing Achad She'alti? There's a beautiful midrash which relates to Parshat Ekev. Very famous pasuk there. It says, "V'ata ma Hashem Elokecha shol me'imach." What does Hashem ask from you? Ki im liyiras Hashem Elokecha. All Hashem asks is yiras Hashemayim. But the pasuk continues and it says, "Uliyava Hashem Elokecha uliyavdo b'chol levav chefem davka bo." So the obvious question is, it says all he asks is yiras Hashemayim, but then it's a whole list afterwards. So the Medrash has a very powerful statement. The Medrash says that David HaMelech, he said, Achad She'alti me'et Hashem ota avakesh. Shifti b'veit Hashem kol yimei chayai. But if you keep reading the Pesukim in the David Hashem afterwards, there's many, many more bakashot. So the Medrash says that Hashem said to David HaMelech, you make it out like you have one request and then you give a whole laundry list. So David HaMelech answered and said, I learned from you. You said, Ma Hashem lokecha sholim yechkim liyiras Hashem lokecha, and then you gave a whole laundry list. So I did the same thing. Obviously, the question is, what's the answer? So the answer is that there's two ways to look at life and to look at the jobs and the missions and responsibilities we have. One is to look at the details. Yiras Shamayim and Avas Hashem and Liyav the B'chol Avach Lechav the Drach of the Shveikus. You can see them all as a list of things, and if you see them that way, so then you'll feel your life is burdensome. And anything in life is that way. You can look at marriage. You can look at marriage as a list of responsibilities. It's on and on and on and on. You see it as a burden. But if you see that it's about a core relationship, Yirat Shamayim, everything else flows from that. Same thing David HaMelech said to Hashem. My request is that I should always feel like I'm in your house. Wherever I am, I should feel I have a presence in a place of Kedusha. If you have that, the rest just flows out of that. That's a key part of what yeshiva, of what being here in this special place is about. Building that relationship that it stays with you wherever you are in the world. That's why it's such an important pasuk in general, and particularly here. So we have to sing it. So I know the one I grew up with. I like it very much. If you don't like it, we'll change it. Okay, we'll decide now. We can decide now for many generations of Yeshiva the Kotel boys which Achad She'alti we're going to sing. Okay, I'll start the one I know. If you don't like it, you won't sing it, and we'll start at the other one. Okay? And then we'll know. Right? Ben, you want to be in charge of the bearer of Achad She'alti? It's a big job. One request. Achad She'alti me'et Hashem Achad She'alti me'et Hashem Tavakesh sing the other one? This is okay? Achad She'alti me'et Hashem Achad She'alti me'et Hashem Otah
Mavakesh Achat Shomalti
say the Davar Hashem, hopefully we'll say it with more kavana. It's a big jump when you go from being a high school kid to being a yeshiva boy. And sometimes you make the jump without actually jumping. What I mean by that is, sometimes it's easier to change the things that happen naturally in a schedule than it is to really internalize and fix the things you need to fix. I was talking to some people last year, not from Yeshiva HaKotel, but it doesn't matter. Mishmar and their yeshiva and etc. I said shachris in the morning, and it became clear to me that there are people in yeshivot who don't daven shachris with a minyan the morning after mishmar, or they daven after zman tefillah. Ayitochein. So maybe I'm tmimistic. You know what I'm saying? I grew up. I was from whatever. But mishige, it begins with being shomer halacha, turning to Hashem the proper way. So we should all make sure. We should all make sure, even if we're not there yet. I spoke about an orientation, giving ourselves a lead pass. Even if we're not, we need to be 100%. Let's start getting through the routine of doing the right things. When you do the right things, it starts to build you. Two of the biggest, frustrations that I hear from boys in yeshiva, especially in Shana Aleph, are one, my learning isn't geshmak enough. They don't use the word geshmak, but my learning isn't, and my tefillah isn't strong enough. And of course, the two are connected. You have to work in order to grow in learning. But you also need to yata d'shmaya to grow in anything. And if you don't realize that, you won't grow at all. But the problem is we see tefillah as a ritual and not as a relationship. Tefillah is, because we've been doing it for so long, and before we appreciate what it is, you walk into one of these hot rooms in camp in the summer where these poor kids are kept prisoner for davening. How can anyone care and feel anything about davening? You're schwitzing like a schwitzer, right? So you daven before you appreciate what davening is, so you never flip the switch. Davening is when we talk to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Davening is where we ask for help, and we can't accomplish anything without His help. So, let's start off on the right foot with tefillah and doing tefillah correctly, even before it means what it's supposed to mean to us. Let's daven that we should know how to daven. Okay. Parshat Shoftim is a very appropriate parsha to come to Eretz Yisrael in, because the parsha begins by describing a situation where people come to Eretz Yisrael, not just in general Eretz Yisrael, but particularly Yerushalayim. It was a very appropriate time to come to Yerushalayim. The first story is about a situation where we have a shaila, we don't know the halacha. We have to come up to the Beis Din HaGadol, and the Beis Din HaGadol is in Yerushalayim. Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, talks about the Beis Din HaGadol is Yisod Torah Shebaal Peh. He writes, the Beis Din HaGadol Shebi Yerushalayim is Yisod Torah. There's something about Yerushalayim that changes the status of everything, including the Beis Din. And there's an important word used in the Pasuk that describes coming up to this place. It says, Vikamta Ve'alita. Aliyah. The notion of going to Eretz Yisrael, going to Yerushalayim, being in Aliyah, you see here? That's where the Mishnah in Ksufas gets it. I call Malin Yerushalayim. Spouse and Eved has a right to force the spouse or master to move to Yerushalayim, to move to Eretz Yisrael. But it's very interesting and I think important, and we can learn a lot from the way the Torah formulates a situation where a person goes up to Yerushalayim. It says, let's read the pasuk first. Ki yipalei mimcha davar. Namishpat bein dam nadan bein din nadin bein nega lenaga. Divrei rivot b'sharecha v'kamte v'alita el makom she'yivchar Hashem elokecha bo. Then it says, you come to the bezdin, you ask for the psak, etc., etc. I want to talk about this first pasuk. Ki yipalei mimcha davar. What does the word yipalei mean? Anyone? Can think of a similar word. Anyone know, think of a similar word?
Pella.
We say, rofecho basar umafli la'asot. What does the word pella mean? So roughly it's translated a wonderment. But literally it means, a wonderment is something above our comprehension. That's why it's a wonderment. Something above the natural comprehension we have. Ki palei mimcha davar means that there's something above our ability to comprehend. And I think the ability to grow, the ability to seek guidance, the ability to go anywhere and for sure Yerushalayim and grow begins with the recognition and internalization of the fact that there are things that are right now above us. If a person lives with a reality of, I know everything I need to know, anything that's true and correct and relevant to me is what I already understand, and that's it. Everything they're exposed to and everything they learn and anyone they interact with is irrelevant. It's putting a coat of paint on top of a wall that hasn't had its old strip of paint removed and hasn't been sanded down. If you paint on top of a wall that's still flaky, the paint won't stick. The ability to learn anything about Judaism, about Torah, about yourself begins with recognizing that there are things we don't yet understand. Ki yipalei mimcha davar. The next step is v'kamta v'alita. And it's interesting to see that there are two words used here and what the two words are. V'kamta means you get up. You get up. Getting up may sound like a very simple thing, but it's one of the hardest things in the world to do. And I don't mean physically standing up, although you feel a little of that, especially as you get older, but getting up means moving. It means abandoning, giving up a place you already are. We have this hesitation, this fear of giving up what we're, our safety zone. You know, you ever think of when you learned how to dive into a pool or how to swim and let go of the wall? Every little kid likes to get into the pool, hold onto the wall and kick. But to let go of the wall or let go of your father or the lifeguard or whatever it is, to dive in a way that you push yourself off as opposed to falling in. Sad thing when you're supposed to fall in. I remember many, many years ago when we first started visiting Skokie Yeshiva. So the boys there, you know, it's a very traditional place. You know, we were going to go to Yeshiva, I don't know, you know, etc. So it was a group of wonderful boys that all wanted to go to Yeshiva Dakota. But they were nervous because, I don't know if we're going to go to Yeshiva Dakota, I don't know. So I said, oh, you're all afraid to be the first one to dive, eh? So I sent them all diving videos. They're pretty pathetic diving videos. You stand on the side, you see this little kid. In order to dive properly, you have to be willing to project yourself. It has to be v'kamta. You have to get up. If you're stuck to a place, if you're holding on for protection, if you're holding on for security, you can't go anywhere. Because no matter where you're going, you're still stuck to your chair. And it has to be a lack of fear about where I will take myself with my life. And most people are afraid of that because they don't even trust themselves about where they're going to go with their lives. And, you know, I think very often you're used to being in yeshiva, rabbanim, high schools, etc., where you know people have a different hashkafa than you, so you hold on to the chair to protect yourself. You have to know you're in a place that people aren't trying to flip you out, maybe flip you in. The difference between flipping out and flipping in is that flipping out is when you leave and abandon where you were before, and flipping in is where you intensify what you already believed, but in a more serious way. It begins with the freedom that you allow yourself to discover. And if you start your journey already assuming and knowing where it's going to end, you're not really on a journey. You're on a twirler whirl. I hated that ride. You know what I'm talking about? The roller coaster has a svara. You know what I'm saying? The flume has a great svara. Right? But the twirler whirl, you know, it's just like this round thing and it spins you round. You just get a headache and throw up. That's just, you know, masochism l'shem shemayim. There's no point. It's Joe and Jed. You spin me right round, baby. I'm saying there's no, and that is the only song that should be played in a twirl a whirl. You spin me right round, baby, right round like a record player. It's mamish. It was written in a twirl a whirl. It lacks any, you know, creativity. It's just, you know. What was I thinking when I got on this ride? So what? The line was short. There's a reason the line is short. You know, it's like just because I want to feel like I got my money's worth from my ticket here in the amusement park. There was no reason. When you look at a twirler, what you say? No, not so fast. I'll wait for the Buccaneer. You know what I'm trying to say? The Buccaneer's got a chalois. You go up. This, unless you're sitting like in the middle. You don't really move. You're not really moving. But if you got on one of the ends, say one halacha is you're up like this, and the other is you're looking the other guy up like that. There's a chalois. You know, the free fall. They drop you all sort of, the whole drop out. That's stark. You know what I'm saying? But the twirler world, it's just sick. And the worst part is when the floor drops out and your sneakers are hanging down there, you know what I'm saying, on the end of your ankles, and you're like, when the floor comes up, my feet are going to get swallowed up by this thing, right? It's terrible. So, well, at least one thing we learned tonight is you will all stay away from twirler worlds the rest of your life. And the second worst ride is the teacups. That's like a twirler world for beginners. You're not stark enough yet to throw up in the twirler world and put you on the teacups. The canta velita. First, you have to be able to stand up. You have to trust. You have to trust that you're gonna, that you trust yourself and where you're gonna go. If you already know where you're gonna end up, you're in a twirler world. If you already know, I'm a doctor. I'm a this. I'm a that. This is gonna be my address. This is gonna be my car. This is gonna be my wife. This is gonna be my... Okay, so what was that? So now everything you learn and everything you're exposed to, you got to figure out how to fit into the twirler world. Ah, you walk in there, it already smells like vomit. This is my life. My life is... I remember, you know, many years ago, when I was in England once, and someone told me a big word. He said, B'nai Akiva has an ideology. The ideology is you make aliyah. Okay, you like it, you don't like it, it's an ideology. Ezra, the youth movement there, it's like a Gudda. They have an ideology. It's to be super stark. It's to flip out and be super stark. I said, and I'm not saying this is true, I'm just saying what somebody told me. He goes, what's Sinai's ideology? Sinai's like in between. The ideology is, I don't know if the English American guys may not fully understand this, but you'll get it more or less. I'll translate in a second. The ideology is, you go to Hasmo, you go to KBY for 2 years, you come back wearing a hat, you settle in Hendon and send your kids to Hasmo.
That's the ideology.
That's the ideology. The Maven Yavin. That's the ideology. Start. No. The ideology is you spin me right round, baby, right round. There we go. That's the ideology. And how many of us have the same ideology? We grow up, we go to the dairy start, we come back, we settle here, send the kids to Harry Crown. We spin water. Nothing wrong with any of those institutions. But my point is, it could be you'll end up in the Dairy Star. It could be you'll end up in the White House. It could be you'll end up in Noah's Ark. It could be you'll end up in traditions. It could be. Then all these places are good, especially the pickles, right? You know what I'm saying? There's what to have there. I told my wife, she said, for the offer, what are your requests? I said, pickles and diet soda. The rest is up to you. We're in either of them. Sound there, okay, you have to learn in life to, you know, stop it, but move it. But in any case, it could be you'll end up, but end up somewhere because you found it yourself. Because you got there yourself. Because you learned that this is what's right for you and that this is where you're meant to be. And that's the kamta. To know there's something above you, to stand up out of where you are already and trust yourself to find it. V'alita el ha'makom she'yivchar Hashem Elokecha bo. And you see, part of the problem is, When you do the joint application, right? Go into the joint application, put in your name, boop, every yeshiva gets a, you know, okay, fine. You click this one, you click that one, there's a bunch of yeshivas, right? Alphabetical order, right? You know, you go to Abercrombie and Fitch, yeshiva, the next one is, NOB, you click this one, there's a bunch of yeshivas, they have a dime a dozen, this rabbi's got a kippah sugah on bold, this one's a black kippah on bold, this one is this, it's all this world landscape, you know. When I was a kid, you went for ice cream, there was chocolate and vanilla. No, was it? The Tzionim had strawberry. You know what I'm saying? It was basically, chocolate, vanilla. That was it. You had to know chocolate, you had to know vanilla. That was a Chiddush twist. But still, it's within the realm of chocolate and vanilla. Today, you go for ice cream. Amish, you need a PhD. There's ice cream. There's what's the ices that melted thing called? It's ice cream ices. Sorbet. I know what it is.
Sorbet.
In the lighthouse and deal, whatever it's called, episode, you know, it's a different kind of chalois, and they have the ice cream with the ices and ices without the ice cream.
Oh, Rita's.
Yeah, this kind of stuff, you know. Because in America, if you're not getting something that's unique to you, you feel you don't exist. This mix, you know, everyone's got to have a flavor. So, okay, you have a bunch of yeshivas, and you're feeling around, etc. But the problem with that is that you don't appreciate where you are, what you're experiencing, how it's different, how it's unique, what you need to take out of the experience. And you know what? The difference between this yeshiva on a mountaintop and that yeshiva on a mountaintop and this yeshiva that serves schnitzel and that yeshiva that serves veggie schnitzel, it's not really that different. A number of years ago, I was traveling around, you know, with all the yeshivas, and I see these brochures lying around. So I took some brochures. I know they were going to go in the garbage otherwise. I took a bunch of brochures. And I did an experiment. I came back to yeshiva, and I cut off the name of the yeshiva from each one of the brochures. And I put it in front of the staff. I said, okay, tell me who's who. They start looking through. They start, you know, et cetera. Nobody got anything right. That's what it is. You can't really tell, you know, this one is tall, this one is short. This one, you know, the chicken schnitzel, not chicken schnitzel. They're on a teal, they're not on a teal. I was in yeshiva, we have a WhatsApp list. We all send them out to each other. You know, we went here, we went to the koisel, went to this. Oh, very nice. Oh, what did you have for lunch? What did you have for breakfast? You know. Reb Leo Raps, one of our guys involved here, is going to be here very soon. He started a thing a few years ago called Sticker Stock. Very good. Very good. You know, all the guys would compare with each other. Is it shtick, is it stock, right? So, the problem is that everything becomes this generic, you know, cardboard, you know, yeshiva. And I hope every yeshiva has things that boys can benefit from, unique things. I know one thing is here, and you know, it's hard for us to talk about because people don't appreciate it when you're far away. To be able to be in the Makom HaShev Char Hashem, some boys chose to go to Yeshiva X and some boys go to Yeshiva Y, but God chose this one. I don't mean this yeshiva, I mean He chose this place. God chose here. What a great slogan for a brochure. Come to the place God has chosen. It'd be true. Again, I don't mean this, you know, this table or this English library or this building. But I mean the view. The Makom HaShev Char Hashem. That's how Yerushalayim is described throughout the Torah. That's how you're meant to view it. You're going to the place that Hashem has chosen for Himself and therefore for you to rise to come to. And that's the challenge, the danger, the mission of being in such a place. When you walk in this place, again, you know, Makom HaShev Char Hashem, you feel and you realize that you're in a place that's different. You're in a place that's different. The question is whether you take advantage of that. The question is whether you internalize that or whether you act the same way. And the nafka mina is, you see a tourist at the Kotel. A Japanese tourist at the Kotel. It's kind of like you when you go visit the Blue Museum in Istanbul, right? Or wherever you go to visit. You know? You have tourists written all over you. I don't know why it is. But for some reason, whenever we dance down to the Kotel for Ne'ilah on Matzah Yom Kippur, it's full of tourists. Maybe it says in the tourist books, the best time to come to the Kotel is Matzah Yom Kippur. It must say something. Because it's full of, like, you're walking down, and there's, you know, it's the United Nations. So you could be a tourist, too. Which way is the Wailing Wall? You could be a tourist, fucking shot. You learn Torah here, and you tour the Kotel. And that's the way you are. If you're not Olel HaMakom. And you know, you've all been to the Kotel. Most of you have been to the Kotel before. At younger ages in your life. And that's what it is. Where do you stick the paper? Who cleans out all the papers? Does God really take them? You know what I'm saying? Right? What's the guy in the black doing over there? Oh, you know. And the problem is when you've been to a place in that way, you've been mechallel it already. So you have to recreate it for yourself. You have to recreate it as a place that's a place of aliyah. I remember the first time I came to Eretz Yisrael, I was staying in the house of a family that later became a close friend of mine. And they had a daughter, and she was telling me all about her life and what she does. You know, I'm not going to say all girls, but some girls, you know, they like to, you know, talk. And she was telling me, and she goes, look, you know, I wear pants. My father thinks this, my mother thinks this. I should wear pants, I shouldn't wear pants. But I never wear pants on the old city. Only skirts in the old city. Because that's a kaddish. I'm not saying she's right, and I'm not saying she's wrong, and I wear pants in the old city. But the notion that you're coming into the place, Shabbat Hashem, that you need to be Oleh in order to come into Yerushalayim, that's Pashat in the Psukim. And Aliyah is not just, or really not mainly, about a physical climb. It's about a person wanting to raise themselves. And again, you don't have to know, I want to be this, I want to be that. You don't have to be Magdir, I want to learn 14 minutes and 12 seconds. I want to put my tits out this far, that far, the pious. I want to look like the Ginzburg Rebbe, not look like the Ginzburg Rebbe. You don't have to have a script to know that you want to be Ola. You have to know about yourself that who I am is a good person, but I can be on a higher level. And being here is about tuning into that higher level. Not so that afterwards I leave and I'm yored, chas v'shalom, but that I can appreciate the level I can live on and then say, shifti b'beis Hashem kol yimechaya. So that's the beginning of the parsha. Understanding that a shaila is rooted in the recognition that there are things above what we already understand. And that recognizing that should mean not just I want an answer to my question, but I want to get to a level where I understand more. And that getting there hinges on a two-step process of Kima and Aliyah. So that's point number one. That's the beginning of the parsha. The other point I want to make is about the second part of the parsha. And of course, if they're in one parsha, it's because they're connected. One of the important things to learn when you learn a parsha is to see the big picture of how pieces work together. The second part of Parsha Shoftim deals with going out to war. A number of different segments. And the first one is about the speeches given to the Jewish people before they go to war. One is, you know, don't be afraid. Very important to our Torah, which we're not talking about now. The second one sends three types of soldiers home. The people who have a new house, have a new wife, or a new, anyone remembers?
Binyan.
Now, it's interesting that only two people at least said it out loud, because that's the biggest chiddush. If I asked you, which of the two of the three make the most sense that you should go home from? Four. You have a new house, that's a huge part of a person's life. You have a new house. You have a new wife. Seder, okay, that's huge. Mir Tashem by all of you, you'll understand what that means. You just wake up, your whole world revolves around someone, you feel it. Reconnect with the person you were created with in the beginning. I mean, it's like it's huge. But a new vineyard, I mean, nothing against grapes, but, you know. I would say, is the equivalent of a new car? Would you go for more from a new car? I'm saying, what's so special about a grapevine? And I believe that Chazal taught us the answer to this question, or better said, saw the answer to the question through the flow of the parashiyot about war. And if you're reading forward, the next one is about when you lay siege to a city. What's the halach? Anyone remembers? Don't cut down a fruit tree to use as a battering ram. The lashon of the Torah is lo tashchit. This is where you get the isser of Baltashi, but the Torah chooses this context to teach it to you. And the Torah uses a very powerful line. It says, don't cut down the fruit tree, ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh. Man is like the tree of the field. And it strikes you right away, this is some kind of parallel that you have to figure out. What does it mean, man is the fruit of the tree of the field? Is it like some strange, you know, Willy Wonka, you know, West, Wicked Witch of the West, you know, trees moving in on you kind of thing? Yeah, this is before your time. It's from like Achashalti period. Any of you know who Willy Wonka was? In the chocolate factory?
He just died.
Willy died? Right. And the Wicked Witch of the West, those trees that come, you know, the trees and the Oompa Loompas, you know, dream. It's the same verse, just different characters. Anyway, getting back to the point, you know, what's Pshat? Man is a tree of the field. It all comes together in the last piece of Parsha Shoftim. And the last piece is about when you find a corpse. You find a dead body. You don't know who killed him. What happens in New York or Chicago, where the most people get killed? What happens? Okay, you have an unsolved murder case. It happens, you know. Judaism doesn't believe that. There's no such thing as blood that's spilled that we have no reaction to. Either there's a murderer, and we convict, and we deal with, or the cities have to measure the distance. No Google Maps, we're talking ropes. And it's a process. And the zakenim of the city that's closest have to take a calf down to a ravine, a nachal that's never been worked, a calf that's never worked in a ravine that's never been worked, and gruesomely chop off its head. I didn't say cut off its head, I said ISIS off its head. That doesn't mean they put it on YouTube, it's a video, a gola, you know, a gola's non karif, you know, and saying we don't do that, they do it that way. And it's a strange thing. Why would we, you know, why do we take it out on this poor calf in this poor ravine? Because there's some guy who got killed. It's such a pella that the Gemara in Sota says we have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself for the explanation. And the explanation God gives, which Mistoma is important because God gave it. You may have the Ramban, you have the Ramban, you have the Michas Pinchas, Rabbi Kiv Eger, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave an answer. Okay, Mistoma, we should listen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an answer. No, that's one teretz. You know what I'm saying? You have another teretz. Right? So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sota Daf Mem Vav. Tovo Egla Bas Shnasa. Shelo Asta Perot. V'te'aref B'makom She'eno Ose Perot. We take an animal that's never produced. We cut off its head in a place that's never produced. L'chaper Al Harikato Shel Zeh. To atone for the death of the murder of this person. Shelo Henichu L'asot Perot. Who didn't have the opportunity to produce. Or in other words, we need to appreciate the ability and therefore the responsibility to create and produce. We're in this world to produce. And when someone who could have and should have and would have produced was kept from doing so, we can't allow that to just go by without a reaction. We have to sensitize ourselves, resensitize ourselves to the importance of production. By appreciating that production was lost. Now, when I say production, I don't mean factories. Although I mean them too. What do we mean here? So let me ask you a couple questions, okay? What do I mean by payros? So you'll say a person who could, you know, build a building. Let's say the guy is 119 years old and schlepsich with a cane. You have egla rufa? Yes. The Gemara asks this, by the way. Okay, you'll say maybe making children. The Gemara says, what about if a person is sterile and can't make children? You also have to do egla rufa. So what do we mean by payros? So the Gemara asks all these questions, you know, Gemara style, Zokain, Achoyla, Asaris. Then it says, mitzvos. Every moment a person is alive is a moment that a person could be doing something of value. And I remember my wife, that's Pashat. I've been in Shiva for, you know, a lot of time, but I remember anyway. You know, I remember my wife's grandfather. He lived out in Seattle, Washington. Or in other words, the middle of nowhere. Jewishly. You know. And oh, there he is. I said the middle of nowhere Jewishly. Did I say anything wrong? Okay, here we go. Home of free marijuana, marijuana, and saying good stuff, etc. For those who don't know, it's Dov Alberstone in the back, one of our chayalim is from Seattle, Washington. So you know, and he was one of the big founders of the community there and one of the, you know, the stalwarts of the community. And I still remember when he got very old and, you know, he was sick and his wife had passed away and etc. And, you know, sometimes it's hard. You're at that age. Every time he would see me, he would say, "Geh weiter. You got to move on. Valentonin mitzvahs. We do mitzvahs." And he didn't speak Yiddish. I mean, he spoke in English. He was an American. But he was tuning into something that clearly he had taken from his Masorah, from his parents and his grandparents. The notion is that life is about what we do. Life is about what we create. Life is about maximizing the potential we have to create. And you know what? If you take a house, a wife, and a vineyard, you know which is the most important? The vineyard. What I mean by that is the following. Your wife is the most important thing in the world. Your home is the context for your life. But the vineyard, v'chulei, is what you do with it. If a person gets married and lives at home and sits and watches television all day, their life amounted to nothing. Nothing. If your life is about ingesting and going to the bathroom, you didn't create anything in this world. And people, their dream is to get to win the lotto and make $20 million and sit at home and live their life through. And after a little bit of time, people get restless. People get restless because they're trained to want to accomplish something, to want to do something, to want to feel something. And there's all kinds of different kinds of things, more valuable, less valuable. There's factory work, there's fruit, there's Torah, there's mitzvahs to create, to maximize, to take advantage, to produce. A person has planted a vineyard, has invested in creating payroad, and he's not going to get to the stage of the payroad. That can't happen. And part of this is the lesson of Baal Tashchis. Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh. Man is like a tree, and on a deeper level, man is like a tree, and I think the reason why it's a vineyard and not vegetables is because there's a difference between creating a vegetable and creating a tree. When you create a tree, you create something that can constantly create. You create something that can regenerate. And a human being is like that too. You didn't produce yesterday, you can produce tomorrow. A human being is like a tree. A human being has the ability for production. And if we're mizalzel in the ability for a tree to produce, are we going to be able to maximize our own potential to produce? It's the same people who don't appreciate what their role is supposed to be who waste the things they have in their life. And that's what the Gemara says, a tzaddik is makbid on his pachim ketanim. Even his small kelim, whatever he has, he's makbid how he uses, what happens to it. Because everything has potential and I have potential. And this word potential is what's critical. This word potential is what's critical. And it's something that, a word that we use but don't appreciate enough. It's a very powerful story of the Netziv, which I heard another, you know, Gilgal of, in a story about the Rav Eliyahu Dessel, the Michtav Melio, if you know. And the story about the Netziv is a story we tell very much, so I'll tell you three stories. The Netziv, Rav Eliyahu Dessler, and HBO. We get Laloch Lamaisa. Okay. So, the Netziv, Lavdil, the Netziv, when he was very old, he put out a sefer called Hamik Sheila. My bracha to you is that you should know at least what that sefer is. And you know, part of that is, you know, Shonabed should keep their hands down. I don't want to embarrass the Shonabed. How many Shonalf guys know what the Hamik Sheila is? And that's my point. My point is, we're Amiratzim. We are Amiratzim. Our world is Amiratzim. And it doesn't bother us. We grow up with this, you know, okay, that's what a Jew is supposed to be, an Amaretz. This is a sad thing. We don't know what the Svarim are, and we're fine. It's so sad. Someone asked me, you know, he went on a certain summer program. That is a very important summer program. I mention them because it's irrelevant. It is very, very important. And he said, you know, we should push guys to go to the program. And I said, I agree. There's just one problem. We are a tzibur of Amiratzim. L'chatchila and mahadrin min mahadrin. Not only are we Amiratzim, we're totally fine with it. And that most people learn during the school year, during the hours they're supposed to learn. The notion that I have a summer and I'm going to learn. Ma'ishtagata. We need to fight against that. We need to understand that the first number one base, before we get to the Avoyed and the Gemilas Chassam, the number one base to be a Talmud Chacham. Mothers in Europe used to put their kids to sleep The singing in the sleep, you should be a Talmud Chacham, you grow up to be a Talmud Chacham. We're Amir Ratzim, Mamish, L'chatchila, Mahajim, Minu, Mahajim. It's a sad thing. I have a Talmud a number of years ago, an Israeli boy who lives in Ra'anana. So he told me this story. He said he usually takes the direct bus from Yerushalayim to Ra'anana. There's a direct bus on the hour. I don't know what it is anymore, but whatever it was. Because he got to Tachamer Kazit late and he missed the bus. He goes, oh, I'm not going to have to take the indirect bus. He was all fabitit, you know, fabitit. He was unhappy. He goes, it was the best time, most important thing that I missed that bus. Why? Because he had to take the indirect bus through Bnei Brak. So he gets on the bus and it's all Haredim. It's all Haredim. Yeshivish people and etc. And he sits down there, you know, a big black and a small white cookie. You know what I'm saying? He's sitting there on the bus. So, you know, he's sitting there. Guy sitting next to him leans over and says, so what Masechta are you learning? I think it was Baba Basra time. He goes, I'm learning Baba Basra. He goes, okay, what perek? He says, learning third perek. You're learning third perek. Oh, what daf? Oh, daf lamed aleph. Oh, so what sugya? He goes, oh, I'm learning, null gather apart. Null gather apart. What do you think of the Rimagash there? So the boy said, oh, you know, I think he explained it this way. Guy in front of him turns around and says, how can you explain it that way? There's no way you can explain it that way. It's not pshat. Guy next to him starts getting in the conversation. Now, none of these guys knew. We're going to be on the bus today with Ratzion Yisher, who's learning Chesed Gabat and Tav Lamed Aleph. We better prepare the sugya so we can talk about the Rimagash. If that guy got on the Yeshivat HaKotel Talmidim bus, I'm not putting down Yeshivat HaKotel. You fill in the, you know, remember the joint application? You pick one of whichever yeshiva you want, okay? Shut up, bad guys. Gimel guys. Hey, guys. We would never get into the conversation because he wouldn't say, so what Masechta are you learning? Yo, you see this video? I'm not against videos and I'm not against watching football. I'm for being a Talmud Chacham. We have to break out of the complacency of the normalcy of being an Amoritz. It's not normal to be an Amoritz. It's very normal, it's just not normal. So the Netziv, when he wrote his Hamik Shela towards the end of his life, he made a big party for all his Chavirim. So they said to him, you know, what's the big deal? You had put out many Svarim by then. Some people probably heard of the Hamik Dover. Okay, fine. They put out many Svarim. The Merome Soda, Piyush and the Gemara, and others. So he said, I want to tell everyone a story. When I was a young kid, I was a wild kid. One night, I heard my parents in the kitchen, and they were saying, you know, Naftali, that was his name, Naftali Tzvi, the Berlin. He goes, Naftali, he's a wild kid, he's not going to learn. He's not going to be successful. But we should send him off to be an apprentice by a carpenter, at least he should have a trade. Because I heard that, and I knew I could do more. I went back to the kitchen to my parents, I started crying, and I said to them, I can do more. Give me another chance. And thankfully, I convinced my parents, and they gave me another chance. And look where I am today. Could you imagine had I become a carpenter? I would have been an Erlach carpenter. I would have been a Frum carpenter. I would have gotten to Shemaim. I would have expected to have been, you know, walking to the pearly gates. And they would have said, what do you mean, carpenter? Where's the Hamik Shela? Now, if you're Haredi, the message of that story is everyone has to write the Hamik Shela and nobody should be a carpenter. I believe that God created some people to be carpenters, and it's a noble trade, and created people to be doctors, and created people to be lawyers, and created people to be the Netziv, but he created all of us to be Talmid Chacham. And the goal of yeshiva is not to become a rabbi. You don't have to lose your hair. It's okay. The goal of yeshiva is to be a Talmid Chacham, and to be a Ben Torah, and to be a Reish Hamayim, and that's something everybody should strive for. And when you tell yourself you don't expect that from yourself, it's when you sell yourself short, and when you deem yourself to be on the wrong bus. Leo Dessel, the great Baal Musar, was once on Har HaMenuchas in the cemetery there, and he saw a kolel guy crying over the kever of one of the gedolim. So he stood there looking at him with a, you know, tight face, and the guy finally saw that Leo Dessel was looking at him, and he says, Rebbe, is everything okay? He goes, what are you doing? He goes, I'm crying. He goes, what are you crying about? Because I'm crying for the tzaddik buried down there. So Leo Dessel pointed him and said, I'm crying for the tzaddik buried in there. It's easy to cry for someone else. Who's crying for who we are meant to be? about the Baal Tashchis of what we are meant to be? You know, a person is killed, so we bring an Egla Rufa because there's potential lost. What about the potential of ourselves that we waste? When I was a kid, I remember when they started HBO. I remember when they started MTV. Okay. So, there was a thing, today there's something called Comedy Central, but it wasn't the same. It was a different kind of comedy. The thing was called the same thing, but whatever. So they had this guy who was imitating the way they get college athletes to sell, you know, different products or different scholarships. So he was imitating the way they get these, like, linebackers to sell, you know, scholarships for the NAACP. You guys know what the NAACP is? The National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. I think that's what it is. No way it would get that name in the 21st century. Colored people? What are you, crazy? You know, colored people. Well, that's what they called it, so, you know, okay, fine. So the slogan for the NAACP in my day was, I don't know if it still is, you know, give to the NAACP because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Do they still have that? I don't know. I would say, you know, they have these minds of young boys and they don't get an opportunity to go to university, okay. So they were showing you these linebackers how they were prodding them. Hello, my name is
Lawrence.
My name is Lawrence. You know, the father get the guy. My name is Lawrence, you know, Taylor. Please give to
NAACP.
To the NAACP. Because a mind is a terrible thing. That's how I remember the slogan, because that was just very funny. But the slogan is a tremendous slogan. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. And anything we have is a terrible thing to waste. But the problem is when we tell ourselves, Meirosh, that our expectations should be so low, we don't see ourselves as wasting anything because we don't expect from ourselves anything. And you know, when I go to visit Chutzlar sometimes, it shocks me to see where things are going and how low the expectations are. I have a chaver who's a rav in one of the high schools. He's a fine fellow. I have nothing about him. It has to do with just the reality he's dealing with. He sent out today on his Twitter, you know, how he does his introduction to Gemara, you know, for the students. So they have a project. They have to make an ad campaign with Coca-Cola bottles or, you know, and slogans. And I guess I'm just, Limud. People don't learn. Then I expected to learn. When I went to camp, we had learning groups. You took out a Gemara, you finished, you learned. Today you can take out a Gemara for learning groups. What are you, nuts? What's learning groups? We get together, we talk, we ask some questions, we tell some stories. That's the educational part, right? Someone says we should learn. We don't learn. So we don't expect more. What's yeshiva? We're going to go to yeshiva for the year because it's a ritual you do after, you know, 4 years of high school. You're not going to go to Israel for the year, man. Some people stay Shunabet because they want to get a good shidduch. You know what I'm saying? You do the things, etc. You learn whatever you can. You take whatever you can and finish. You don't go to medical school. It's not, I'm going to go to Israel for 4 years, I'm going to write things down, and then I'm going to be a doctor. No! What are you talking about? You're going to have to memorize every vein. You're going to have to know every possible thing that could happen and how to cure it. You may want to be an eye doctor, but you're going to have to understand about the kidneys, the lungs, and the heart, and everything else. You can be a bucky in medicine. You're going to work like a dog until you get there. Yeshiva, we're punching the clock. How many days left in the year? We're punching the clock. That's why nobody feels the pressure. We're going to go hang out. We're going to go bummer. Because we don't have a goal. Because we don't expect from ourselves that we need to finish us. We don't expect from ourselves we need to be a Talmud Chacham. The most important part when you start yeshiva is to raise your expectations. To expect from yourself more. To want from yourself more. To not be willing to settle for less for yourself. It's critical. Or else you won't get anywhere if you don't have the expectation for yourself. You'll be satisfied punching the clock. I need to be a Talmud Chacham. That's a basic part of my identity. You know, it's a big question with yeshivas, traveling. You go 3 days, you go 4 days, you go 5 days. Parents come, go for 6 days. I don't want to deal with it. What am I, a zookeeper? How long do we let the baboons out for? You know, this is what I went to chinuch for. To, you know, to contact people, to time clock people. You have a card, you check in and you check out. I remember in the early years I was trying to formulate the policy. My father-in-law was listening. My father-in-law was a doctor. He goes, I remember when I was in medical school and your mother, you know, my mother-in-law, you know, her cousin was getting married on the West Coast in Seattle, right? And I wanted to go. I was going to miss a day of class, you know, fly a red eye and come back. And I went into the professor, and the professor said, I said, look, I'm going to Seattle for the day. He goes, yeah, you're out of the class if you go to Seattle for the day. What do you mean? I got a wedding. He goes, when the person comes in with a symptom that I taught on that Monday, you're going to say you were at a wedding? I'm not passing you to class if you're not in class that day. So they didn't go. That's bullshit. Nobody thinks a person should fly for a wedding in Seattle. They're going to miss a day in medical school. Because that's important. Because you got to know it. But here, we're punching the clock. And the person wakes up in the morning. And, okay, sad there, you know. Come, won't come. We're punching the clock. No matter if community, if I miss you that day. Do we know it's Chai Yerlam? It's more important than medical school. Not saying a person should be a doctor, shouldn't be a doctor, chas v'shalom. The Gemara in Moed Katan says, we don't believe in the Gemara. Gemara's, you know, this is just charidim. Gemara in Moed Katan says, Gadol, Talmud Torah Yoser, Me'atzalas Nefashos. That we should understand the significance of every piece of Torah we learn. But we don't walk around that way. We're not raised that way. That's yeshiva. Yeshiva is not about a broad Jewish studies curriculum. It's about internalizing the understanding that we should expect from ourselves more. That we should demand for ourselves more. As a Talmud Chacham, as a Shomer Mitzvos, as an Eved Hashem, as a Ben Torah, that we should aspire and demand for ourselves, not be willing to settle for less. And no one in this yeshiva is going to tell you, you need to be this and you should be this and you should be that. But everyone in this yeshiva is going to tell you, you could be this and you could be that. And know what you can accomplish. And you'll decide for yourselves what you want to accomplish, but at least know what's on the table. And high school is the biggest chilul Hashem for learning. Because the whole essence of high school is to finish it and get through. We have X number of years and Y number of classes, and that's why everyone knows the senior year, right? I was early admission, so pardon me. You know. The senior year? What's Chaloy senior year? Okay, so senior year is the worst. So it's passing through. So you get to yeshiva and they say, I got to pass through. So the next year I can move on with my life. Fakasha. Okay. Batzlacha. Maisa Behema. Animal number one, animal number two, animal number three, animal number four. 10th, put a red strip. Next. My son got married this summer. So we were sitting down with the in-laws to figure out when he would get married, right? You know, you have the shikulim, everyone has all the things. So the question came up, maybe he'll get married in September. I said, he could, but I can't be there. I said, well, it can't be during Elzman. I said, why? Because the wall shake. No, what does that mean, the wall shake? Elzman is about relationships. It's where we revisit and redefine our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And in yeshivot, at least in this yeshiva, it's the beginning of a year that's about founding relationships. It's about a lot of other things. It's about learning. It's about popcorn. Lavdil, right? It's about a lot of other things. But the core at Yeshivat HaKotel is for a very large number of staff members to connect each one to a very large number of guys in a very personal way. Because then we begin a journey of life together. Forever. You know, I sat in this room earlier today on Thursday. We have a staff meeting. The whole table, around the whole table, you have staff sitting and looking around at all these devoted, caring people. I'm saying, there's a power. There's a power. It's exciting. Now I look around the same room at all of you, and the number one thing I think of when I see people is the potential they have. There's some yeshivas, there's some rebbeim, they see people and they see the negatives. They see the downsides, they see the drawbacks, they see the limitations. I look at people and I see the potential. when they're Shana Aleph, when they're Shana Bet, when they're Shana Tezvav, I see the potential of what they could be. And when it's realized, there's nothing more beautiful. And when it's not, you feel... And I ask myself, if there's something I could have done to help this person take another step. But it begins with a relationship. And that's why the Rebbeim are so focused, and the other staff are so focused on what's going on with you and what's going on here and why people aren't going home. Because this is, the start here is about the relationship. Everything else is Zirich Zil Gmar. The rest comes out of that. And that's what's happened in the last few days, Amir Tishem over Shabbos, and continue the next few weeks. It's going to be about these relationships growing. And your ability to see your potential as a Ben Torah and a Talmud Chacham, etc., will grow as you become more connected to people who are more that and aspire more for that. So the shita here is not a Rebbe's going to get close to you and then, you know, brainwash you and put his arm around you and tell you off or whatever. The shita here is you're going to get close to a lot of people who are more that or aspire and or aspire more for that. You're going to connect to friends older than the same age who are also aspiring for that. Does that brainwash you? No. But it gives you a model that you can start seeing as a reality for yourself. Because when you see what you can be, that's when you can start believing you can be it and striving for it. And the people in this room are exceptional people. What do I mean? In your schools, each one of you stand out, successful, in Frumkeit, in learning, intellectually, you know, in a few of those categories. That means you should expect from yourself more. You ever watch a YouTube, you have a video on, right? And you're too slow to get to the stop button or whatever, so it goes into the next video. So you have an ad in between or whatever it is, right? So today I was sitting, I think it was a video that Gabi Novik, what a great video, anyone didn't watch it right on the first day. Very powerful. I'll see, I was crying. It made me cry, the video. So I went into the next video. The next video was Harev No. It's about an organization in America that tries to build excitement for learning through Chazara. I don't know if people know it. So, you know, it drew my attention. So beautiful. You see people caring about Torah and wanting to know Torah, wanting to be Kona Torah. I'll try and find it. Maybe I'll send it out to you. To believe in what you can be. The Ahavas HaTorah. And unfortunately, the Haredim stole it from us. Oh, that's Haredim. I'm unwilling to accept that we can't be that. I'm joking. It's Pasha we can be that. And we have to be that. I don't mean Haredi. I mean Talmid Chacham. We have to want more for ourselves. The problem is we're surrounded by a world that today not only surrounds us on the outside, but we walk around within our hand that's so antithetical to those values. I don't mean lachis, they're saying to you, take off your burkini. I don't mean that they're saying you can't be religious. But they're just presenting values that are just, you know, you cruise in the world and you follow culture and, you read posts and, you get a job and make money, right? Not that any of those things are bad. But because we're so engrossed in a world that just has other values and priorities, we forget what ours are supposed to be. We forget what we believe they should be. But we know ourselves we forget. And when that sense gets deadened and dulled, we don't pursue properly. And that's the sad part. I don't want a culture here. We don't want a culture here of cat and mouse. You learn on Friday, you get in trouble. You didn't learn on Friday. You get in trouble. You get in trouble. We want to create a world for you where you can see what you can be and be inspired to aspire. And we'll help you do that. And have a relationship with you will help you do that. That's what it is. And it's because of where we are too. How could you be here and not be? And that's part of what saddens me. You know, I haven't seen my wife all week, and so she came tonight to say hello. She was in Yerushalayim, and such. So we walked around the Rova a little bit. I was so nervous I would see one of the guys out there. Not because he'd get in trouble, but just because, you know, poor guy, you know, really kill him. I didn't see anybody. For the record, you know, I was afraid I would for them, for the guy. I didn't want to, you know, etc. I wasn't patrolling. I'm not one of Rabina's spies, you know what I'm saying? I don't work for him. I wasn't patrolling, I was walking with my wife. So, you know, you see these people hanging out, kids, yeshivas, you know, none from ours in seven. I'm just thinking to myself, it's one thing to do that in Emek Rephaim. Here? Really? Where are you? Mamash lefnei Hashem. Not because it's bad. Not because it's bad. Because where are you, man, you know? Shh. Now again, you're going to live in Yerushalayim for a year and you're not going to play football or get an iced coffee. You get Jerusalem syndrome. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's unhealthy. Play football, whichever limbs you feel you use for that. Play basketball, work out, jog, remain healthy, go out to eat with your friends, etc. Do, be, co-fix, co-fizz, the next one, buy stock in Ko-Fi, because the Y doesn't have one yet, you know what I'm saying? Get better, but know where you are, and help that remind you who you can and therefore should be. Ashrechem, you have this opportunity, not Pashat. There's a Rav in America, very close to him, once told me to follow. It's a very ridiculous thing. He meant point A, which is very important, and I want to save for point B. He said, you take 100 babies, Jewish babies, born in hospitals today in America or England. He was talking about America, lives in America. Fine. How many of those babies, those 100 babies, are going to get any Jewish education? They're going to enter into a nursery or a kindergarten. Let's be large, you say in Israel, it's in a Hebrew word, large. Right? You know, let's be large. Let's say 30 of the 100 will get Jewish education. That's not true, right? But okay, let's be large. How many of them are going to make it into first grade? He was very, you know, deep. How many make it into high school? Of 100 Jewish babies born in America, how many make it to a Jewish high school? 10? Okay. How many make it to yeshiva in Eretz Israel? 100 Jewish baby boys. One, two, I don't know, three. You'll pardon me this, but this is how he said it. How many make it to a real yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael? That's the way he said it. He said, one where they learn. And it always reminds me, because you know, I talk to guys, not everyone's a yeshiva where they, like, they sit and learn and plug. So you are, so everyone's like, well, I don't want to plug. I mean, we should tell guys, don't plug. No, no, I want to plug. The afternoon said, you can't learn Gemara. No, no, I want to learn Gemara. You're not going to stop me from learning Gemara, Rabbi. It's a new strategy. I don't learn Gemara, man. Look at the girls. The girls, all they want is learn Gemara. Someone said they couldn't. I'm learning Gemara. We make an upsak. It's usher for girls to dress tznias. Usher. Usher. It's wrong. Only boys can dress tznias. That's it. It's an upsak. It's usher for a boy to finish shas. Anyone who wants to finish shas needs to get permission from me. No. No shas for you. Be the shas Nazi. No shas for you. No, but we were talking about something before. Oh, so you got to, you have one out of 100 is in a serious yeshiva. You're the hope for those 100 Jewish people. You're the great white hope. What are you doing with it? Shreichem! Baruch Elokeinu Shebarna Lechvodo V'Hivdil Lanu Min HaTohen V'Natan Lanu Torat Emet V'Chayi Olam Nata V'Tochenu. What are you doing with it? Precious! So the Rav's point was, who deals with the other 99 kids? Who deals with the 70 who never get in? Who deals with the 20 who never get to the Jewish high school? That's a very important point. And how precious is the one who's here? How precious are you? How precious is what you do with yourself? You're not a fruit tree. You're the only fruit tree in the freaking field. Understand the achrayus of what you carry with yourselves. Of what you make of yourselves. What the Jewish community, what the modern Orthodox community in America and in Israel and in England is going to look like. It depends on you, not me. Everyone wants to talk about it. Wants to talk about it. Is the next generation going to be Amiratzim? The next generation is going to think Avodas Hashem is going to shul and making fun of the rabbi after his speech. The next generation isn't going to know how to daven. Isn't going to know what spirituality is. Or what? Who's going to determine that? You carry a serious thing. Those are the peros. Those are the peros. Ki adam eitz asadeh. You look at a fruit tree, think of your own potential. Think of a carob tree that creates potential for generations later, and the potential that you create for generations later. Every one of you has the great zchut, ashrechem, 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 of having been in a situation, of being in a situation where you have a year in yeshiva ahead of you. It's a tremendous opportunity. Some of you, Mirat Hashem, will be here next year. You'll have it again. Wonderful. You don't have it for 10 years. You have a limited amount of time. So much to accomplish. So much you can be. I'm not saying you should flip out, and I'm not saying you should grow long pious, and I'm not saying you should wear black and white, and I'm not saying you shouldn't be normal and stop playing basketball, or whatever it is you play and enjoy. And I'm not saying you shouldn't talk to your friends, boys or girls. You should talk to your friends, boys and girls. What I'm saying is, you have an opportunity, grab it, both horns. It's easy when you have so much time to spend to waste too much of it. Don't waste it. This is the time to remember, and it will not last forever. These are the days to hold on to, and you won't, although you'll want to. I'll start to tell you which philosopher said it. You know, I'll tell you that, right? Rabbi Isai. I look around and I see it's a great group. Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, and the way we've drilled together, there's so much each of you can accomplish and be. We're here to help you. But it depends on you, right? I mentioned the English earlier tonight. The very famous Gemara about Tshuva with Elazar ben Derdaya. The Gemara says Elazar ben Derdaya was a very sick person. He used to go around searching for prostitutes. Mamish, it was his whole life, kind of like people on the internet, right? It's a terrible thing. It used to be to get in trouble, you had to look for it. Today, trouble runs after you. You have to understand that it's normal in the world, but it's not normal for a human being. It's not normal for a spiritual, firm person. We have to fix it. We have to fix it. We have to fix it. The problem is the things we accept as normal, that we just accept them as normal and move on. It's not normal. It's not healthy. So he was looking for trouble. And one day he heard about this super-duper woman and somewhere else, and he sold all his possessions to go to this woman. And he got there, and as he was about to move forward, he passed gas, and she said to him, just like the gas you passed, you're as meaningless as that. And it struck a chord with him, and he was obviously a philosopher, and he decided he had to do tshuva. Mara says, he looked up to the sky, and he said, sky, sun, moon, and stars, daven for me, help me do tshuva. They said, we're busy with our own job, we don't have time for you. The mountains, help me, no. Finally, after asking everyone for help, he realized he has to do it himself. He said, Ein hadover talui elabi. Depends on me. Ein hadover talui elabi. Mara says he put his head between his legs, fetal position, cried so hard. He was in a very bad state. He cried so hard, he cried himself to death. And the Mara says that a baskol came out and said, Rebbe Elazar ben Derdaya is mustach li'olam haba. Rebbe Elazar ben Derdaya. The Gemara addendums, it quotes Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, Bacha Rebbe. Rebbe cried and he said, Yesh kono olamo b'har be'shanim. Most people, it takes years and years to get to where you need to get to. V'yesh kono olamo b'sha'achas. Some people have a moment. Not only that he went to Olam Haba, but Karohu Rebbe, he's called Rebbe. And what did he teach us? He taught us the most important lesson. We live our lives coming up with excuses and justifications for why we're not who we need to be. And it's convenient, because if we can blame our parents and our school system and God and the account, whoever it is, we have it all written, the whole script of why we can't be who we need to be. The moment when a person realizes that they can be whoever they want to be, if they're willing to work, is a true redeeming moment of growth. Yesh kono olama b'sha'achas, everyone has those moments. Throughout this year, you're going to have many moments. The difference between the men and the boys is going to be what they do in those moments, and whether they're able to take advantage of them and work off them. The realization, Ein Hadavar Talui Elabi. To believe that you can be, and to believe that you need to be, and to believe that it's in you, if you're willing to work hard enough to create it. And you're going to have, and you have a lot of people here who can help you, who are eager to help you, who are there to help you, and more than anything they give you is a relationship which gives you a window into what you can be and should be. But in a davatali alavi. The kamta ve'alisa. The kamta ve'alisa. Singing. Girls like to sing. Boys sing, so girls should see them singing. And you know, we've seen us sing. You know, we're so used to singing without understanding what we're singing that it becomes a ritual that doesn't mean anything. Kind of like davening. It's very important. If you want to sing, you should understand what you're singing. Understand the words. Singing is a good, very good thing to do after you've talked about something. When you sing on theme, because it's a way of internalizing and expressing your feelings about that theme. The custom we have here is that after Musar, we sing a little bit. I suggest it should be songs connected to the themes that were just spoken about. It's a way to ingrain and express two related ideas. We are very excited about what this year has, you know, in the barrel. It's a great group of people. Great group of individuals and a great group of people who know how to connect as a group, which is a very important part of growth. Judaism does not believe in growing on a mountain like a monk. Judaism believes in growing as part of a chevra. And Baruch Hashem. I have this custom. At the beginning of Elzman, I write an email to every boy and every parent who I had a kesher with over the past year, maybe didn't go to Yeshivat HaKotel. I wish them hatzlocha. I tell them when the boys in the area should come visit. You shouldn't feel you didn't choose HaKotel, you know, I don't like him anymore. Chazav Shalom, right? It's not a partisan thing. We're all Am Yisrael, right? We're all 1 out of 100. You should come, we should see, we should tzliach, etc. One parent wrote me back, his son's in a yeshiva, etc. It's a fine yeshiva, but he heard the chevra's all in HaKotel. Chevra's in HaKotel. Okay. That I could have told them, you know, I don't need an email, right? It's a great group. Chevra. You're going to build each other, you're going to help each other. Baruch Hashem. But ain't a davar tali ela b'cha. You have to. Okay, right. No one can climb for you. You have everything you need. You have the background. You have the place. You have the staff. You have everything you need. It's a good thing, but it means you got to do it. The single-mindedness. When we don't appreciate how much what's really important is important, we can't accomplish what's really important. You can't say to God, God, give me Yerushalayim and pizza. And that's what our life is about. We want so many things that we don't want the ikar. Simcha Bunim Mipshischa had an unbelievable mashal. He told a story about a king who had a son. And the son rebelled against his father, only son. So the king had to kick him out of the palace. He kicked him out without any money. He told him, go, good luck to you. Years later, the king missed his only son. He sent the minister in charge of his palace to look for him. Found him in a faraway land. He was a homeless bum. Found him in a bar. He said to him, this is where you are. He goes, do you remember where you came from? Sure, I was a prince once. He goes, if you could have one request from your father, what would it be? The kid said, it would be, he should send me a new pair of socks. The minister said, you idiot. You don't even remember what to request for. That's what you want, a pair of socks. Ask that he take you back to the palace. Ask that he put you in the gdulok. Rav Simcha Bunim said, the nimshal is, the Jews have been in Galus so long. They think what they want is that the Mets should beat the Cardinals in the wild card spot. Where Tottenham should finally get a spot in the European play. This is what you want. This is what Jews daven for. This is what you want, really. The Cubs should finally win and get into a World Series. That's what you want, really. That's what you want. That's what you're daven for. Daven for the geula. The geula of the Jewish people, the geula of yourself as a person. Daven to become the person you should be. Maybe we would daven if we understood that that's what we should be doing. Achat sha'alti me'et Hashem. To know what we really need. That sense of belonging, that sense of home. I still remember seeing a screensaver of one of the boys years later after yeshiva. He had a rotating pictures of yeshiva and it said, Achat sha'alti me'et Hashem tefet Hashem koyim mechayai. And you know what? He was working, making money, doing stuff. He donated one of the shas in the Beis Medrash. But he was still Beis Hashem. Alabai, all of us, Emir Tashem. Ah, Shovalti, Mayay Tashem. Oh, yo, 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 ha, Shovalti, Mayay Tashem. Goto, Avakesh.
Ah.
Lamancha Aseh V'lo Lanu, which is shocking because we usually say, Aseh Laman Shemecha, but we don't say don't do for us. Why here do we say don't do for us? Lamancha Aseh V'lo Lanu. And the second question I ask now is, you know, we say Hanishama Loch V'aguf Shalach. Usually when we say something belongs to someone, we say Shalach Shalcha. Haguf Shalach. So the parallel would be Hanishama Shalcha. Shalach. Why do we say Hanishama Loch? I think the answer is very important. We're not saying it belongs to God. We're saying it's directed to God. And the point of the song is, we're not asking for something for ourselves because we don't see ourselves as something different. And the truth is, if we see ourselves as something different, then God should have no reason to help us. What is it about, you know, our fan club? It's not Rachim Na'al Yisrael, Al Yisrael Amecha. So what we're saying is, there is no independent us. Leman chasev elo lanu, because we're not setting ourselves up as something different. We're omeid kedalim v'kerekim, as people who feel not worthful, who feel empty without that connection with God. And the way we can show that the relationship exists is that not only is the guf created by and belonging to God, but we have a soul that pines for God. The song is about connecting to that pining, to that hanishama loch, to that direction, to that sense that we're already connected to it, to the neshama tahora shenatata bi, which is what we have to return to through the process of Tara, these 40 days. Let's think about it. Let's think about it as we sing it.
Shema.
asking for in the song is clear. Reini Hashem Darkecha, show us the way. Cheni Berach Mishor, the direct path. Lead me in the direct path. There's two stages to Avodas Hashem. There's two stages to personal growth. One is to want the right thing. The second is to find what that is. A person could want to serve Hashem. A person could want to live their life the way they're supposed to, but we don't always know. And that can be very frustrating. Sometimes people don't seek to live their lives in the right way because they feel they'll never know what it is anyway. Or they try and don't find it, so they give up. So we really have to daven and ask Hashem to show us. But the only way you can ask Hashem to show you is if you're ready to follow. Why should He waste His time showing you? Why should He build in the ability to follow if you're not going to follow anyway? Lulei he'emanti, the emuna that's necessary, the trust, the faith. V'ne'emanata l'achiyot meitim, rabba emunatecha, the reliability on God. That we're committed enough, that we take it seriously enough, that we're ready to follow. Then we can say, Horeini Hashem Tekech. That's such an important song, such important words, but we have to be ready to sing them. Horeini up for Minyan, whichever one, Friday, but to daven with the Minyan, daven properly. It's impossible to be a chassid at night and a litvak in the morning, right? A few years ago, I started singing a song that to me means a tremendous amount. We'll talk about it later in the year. Baruch HaLekinesh, Baruch HaLechvodo. Singing a song is very powerful. Sometimes everyone starts singing. Yeah. Every time three people get together with two pieces of bamboo, we got to sing Baruch HaLekinesh, Baruch HaLechvodo. Brother, it's a holy song. It's a very important song. You should only sing it when you're really ready to thank Hashem for giving you the schut and the ability to, you know, to live your life in relationship with Him. And you have to reserve for the right things. You don't sit down in Kiddush on Shabbos and sing Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know. It's not Yischu Machuscha, you know. It's not, it shouldn't be part of the, you know, the top 40. You know, Casey Kasem, they still got Casey Kasem. He didn't die yet. So. He used to do the top 40 for like 100 years. American top 40, Casey Kasem. No one listens to radio now anyways. Yeah. Okay, don't laugh if a Rebbe starts getting Baruch HaKadosh with his Kiddush. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to Baruch. You know, it shouldn't be on the pop charts. It's a holy song. When you're ready to thank Hashem, when you're ready to thank Hashem that He created you for His glory, when you're ready to thank Hashem for separating you from others and giving you a Torah, that's when you sing Baruch HaKadosh. You know, so hopefully we're in that mindset. Baruch Hu
Hey. 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 H